The Asian Development Bank was founded in 1966 for the Asia for economic growth and cooperation in the Asia Pacific region. The World Bank is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and the ADB is headquartered in Philippines in Manila. Now, when it comes to the World Bank, it has different countries which are members, shareholders, and the largest, of course, being USA. And it works in a kind of like a government with different country participants and representatives from different countries being their governors. And these people appoint executives at the country levels to carry out the various projects. So likewise, even the ADB has members which are 68 shareholding members. Again, they participate in this manner. Japan is the largest shareholder, and out of 68, 49 of the member countries are from the Asia Pacific region. So again, the aims are to create cooperation, to have integration of trade, to support economic growth, social development. Now, for example, when I was talking about poverty alleviation, when I was talking about support during times of COVID, then specific to COVID, Asian Development Bank gave almost $4 million in loans to across countries, across its members for COVID-related initiatives. They gave a loan of 100 crores to Medanta Hospitals for this purpose of handling the COVID situation. So they are specific to long-term growth, and also when there is a crisis situation like this. Now currently there is crisis situation in various parts of the world, like Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine, or the Middle East. Now banks like the ADB, which are supporting or which have member nations in those parts of the world, would definitely be extending loans there for initiatives to handle and support the crisis situations and various challenges which come up because of the crisis, whether it is sanitation, whether it is poverty alleviation, whether it is hunger alleviation. So these participants, these banks nurture their members in this way to help and support these projects, which will uplift the people, citizens, not just at a financial level, but also at their basic social humanity level. Now, when it comes to poorer countries, because we are focusing a lot on poorer countries in terms of the focus the World Bank or the Asian Development Bank, IMF, etc., have on these poorer nations. There are almost 121 countries which are poor countries, low-income countries. Now, there are initiatives like the Heavily Indebted Poor Countries Initiative, which was started in 1996 by the World Bank and IMF. And these give targets and allow these poorer nations to there are certain criteria based on which these 36 extremely poor nations have been selected and been given the chance to meet certain targets so that the terms of these loans to them can be bettered even more, and waivers and further concessions, etc., can be factored in to their arrangements. So there is not just a matter of lending to these poorer nations, but it is also that after the lending, there is some sort of monitoring. There is also some sort of support being given to them, confidence and reassurance being given to them in terms of that we are standing by you, and if you are delivering on these targets that you had committed to, then you are going to be rewarded for those by better terms being implemented or further support coming in for you. So it is not a matter of a one-time loan and leave it. It is a matter of these loans, being monitored, supported, reassured, modified based on, you know, how the targets are being met, and onward, various milestones being taken into account. Now, when it comes to ADB, then specific to India, ADB has, again, like the World Bank, which has these roughly 127 active projects, the ADB also has several projects across different states. For example, they have a project running in Kerala for creating employment for the youth. They have projects running in various other parts, you know, to reduce, increase your power capabilities in those regions. So different states have projects running under these banners, and these projects are monitored, assessed, rewarded based on how they are moving and what their target achievement is. Now, again, ADB has clearly there are a lot of countries in the Asia-Pacific region which have a requirement for the kind of support that ADB is willing to and capable of providing. So as a result of that, there is a huge amount of disbursement which has happened from their end. There is some amount of disbursement which has also happened to the private sector, because sometimes you have projects which could be in partnership with the private sector, which could go towards, while it is at a generic country level, society level, but partnering with private sector could definitely help some of these projects and enable some of these projects. So across the different projects in various states, there are different financing options which could be suitable. For example, I told you about the loan to the private sector, your Medanta Hospital for 100 crores for COVID. Now that would have had a different structure. Likewise, other ADB projects in different states in the country are projects for horticulture development in Himachal Pradesh, or there is a Delhi-Meerut rail transport corridor which is being developed. So obviously, a lot of these are public, some of them have private participation. So the forms of financing requirements, the terms of these projects, loans, how the various modalities are incorporated into this will differ from project to project. So in the private sector, I gave you the example of your Medanta. Now this is non-sovereign. From time to time, these happen. Larger part of the projects are obviously towards the public sector, because that is where larger need is, and also that is where a larger segment of society can benefit from the outcomes of these projects. You have various structures when it comes to privately owned and state sponsored. The structure which is most appropriate will be incorporated. Like the World Bank, your ADB also works through shareholders, through executive placed in on site in the local countries, who will then oversee these projects and who will then report back on them, create targets for them, see where one is as far as the assessment of target achievement is concerned, as far as the assessing how to modify them, how to make these projects and the financing dynamic. Different funds, the same way that the World Bank is borrowing from global markets at favorable rates and then onward lending to emerging markets and especially to low-income countries. Likewise, you have ADB, which is borrowing at favorable terms and then onward lending to at very low interest rates. especially when it comes to projects of poverty alleviation, projects which, you know, are going to the absolute basic poorest nations, whether it's, you know, Afghanistan, whether it is, you know, some of the African nations. It is then going to these nations in a, it is not simply a economic growth target. It is actually something which is required for basic survival of the people there, whether it's Afghanistan, a Burkina Faso, so many of these countries, their basic survival, starvation, famine, these are, you know, confronted on a daily basis. Economic growth is something which is, you know, a futuristic thing. First, it is basic survival for the people, citizens in these countries, which, you know, where they cannot actually sustain without proper support coming in from entities like the ADB, World Bank, IMF, you know, etc. The UNCTAD, a lot of the data that we have been talking about, a lot of the data figures are actually coming out of the UNCTAD. It's responsible for development issues, international trade. Main focus becomes think, debate, deliver. And in a lot of the thinking and debating, there is a lot of study analysis which is being done. So when we refer to a lot of the data, whenever any project is done, undertaken, unless there is some sort of assessment or measurement of how the project is progressing, how in the world will one know where we are as far as target achievement is concerned? How will one know what is to be done in future, dynamism-wise, modification-wise? When I was talking about the heavily indebted poor countries initiative of the IMF, then for those target achievements, measurement is also important. So there is need for verified data, verified analysis, study, because when it comes to all these initiatives, and especially when it comes to financing, then unless there is some sort of measurement, real-time grassroots measurement, which is reliable and dependable. You know, we often hear about figures coming out of China, which people say are, you know, debatable. China may not be sharing the, you know, reliable figures. Or of course, when it comes to completely closed off countries like North Korea, then you cannot trust any figures, you know, coming out from there. So when you have entities like the UNCTAD, then their think tanks are hopefully delivering assessments, measurements, figures, which are delivering, you know, results and data which is reliable, which can be a support system to these entities of whether it's World Bank, ADB, etc., entities where they also have their own assessment and measurement, but this can support their measurement of how their projects worldwide are going. Now, continuing in terms of the UNCTAD initiatives and their, you know, how they help policy, economic policy makers. They, you know, help in taking informed decisions. They generate people-oriented sustainable development, and representatives from across countries are involved. So that, you know, when we have seen that ADB has 68 shareholder member countries, you have World Bank where, you know, 166 members are there. Then when it comes to taking these informed decisions, when it comes to making these policies, you know, creating policies for sustainable development, then this delivering is requires that representatives from across countries are involved and come together to be able to, you know, discuss and deliver. For example, when we will be talking in a future chapter about, you know, India's participation in the World Trade Organization, then India has been a very active vocal participant when it comes to certain aspects. For example, in the past, India spoke very, very strongly about including textiles in certain of the WTO criteria, which heavily helped the textile industry for the region and especially for India. Likewise, when it comes to certain food grain security, then India has been extremely vocal as a WTO member, which we will learn about later, in terms of stressing the need for creating that food security and removing certain elements and implementing certain initiatives so that for India that food security is managed. Even China, when it comes to these issues of food security, even China has been a vocal participant out there. So now this vocal participation is happening when these representatives are present at these discussions and dialogues, right? So when it comes to these entities, then there is a need that these member states not be sleeping partners. How active member states are is going to drive how much those states are benefited. Now, in an earlier chapter, when we were talking about the RPEC, the trade RPCE block, then India had chosen not to join the RPEC block. And perhaps the reason for that, of course, the concern that China was a heavily influencing a member of that bloc, perhaps the reason was that India felt that India will not be able to have the kind of open dialogue, or their dialogue and discussion will not be taken as seriously in the presence of China having such a strong influence on that bloc. So while countries are members of these various entities, it is important that those countries make their position heard in those discussions and dialogues, and so that they are individually getting their due, and initiatives are not happening and generic decisions are not being taken which don't exactly benefit the individual members. So various meetings happen, investment forums are organized. The last one was in Abu Dhabi in UAE. Now these forums, etc., become very important, right, from government representative and private representatives, but more from a ministerial level representatives, to go and participate and make yourself be heard, so that your individual requirement, your country's requirements, are not compromised by other influential nations. United Nations Industrial Development Organization, again, poverty reduction is a massive mandate. Environmental sustainability is extremely important. The Kyoto Agreement, target was to bring down carbon emission to 350 per million. Now we are nowhere close to 350 per million. I think on an average the world is still at 390, if not more. So environmental sustainability is a very major, over and above poverty alleviation, hunger issues. Environmental sustainability is something which has assumed increasing importance across the projects. When I'm talking about the different projects of World Bank, when I'm talking about the different projects of ADB, we have seen there are climate related projects, there are Ganges River rejuvenation projects. So across various entities, climate and environment is assuming a very drastic priority, because we are seeing what is happening the world over. There is technical cooperation, policy advisory, setting standard, standard setting and compliance, knowledge transfer, networking. All of these principles form a foundation for, the UNIDO's proceedings. We have already spoken about poverty reduction, energy, environment, trade capacity building, This is also something which is on the UNIDO theme charter. Like your other initiatives, there is also the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Again, mission is economic and social well-being, works together with the governments across the world, which is why it's very important for government representatives, ministry representatives to voice their requirements and needs and to be active participants at these various forums. Measuring of productivity is very important. Measuring of various targets, data is very important. I had already stressed that for all these projects involved, unless there is a healthy, reliable measurement mechanism, one is not really going to be able to, monitor these projects well. So all of these aspects become very important. Of course, with the dynamism in the world and with so many googlies being thrown at us, right from COVID to war to various other things, innovation assumes a very, very major important role when it comes to your international growth and international development, whether it is climate, whether it is poverty alleviation, environment, employment, or various other infrastructure developments. The World Trade Organization is the watchdog for your trade across the world. WTO, which is the World Trade Organization, was founded in 1995 in Geneva, and practically all the nations are members of this. India has benefited hugely from World Trade Organization being a participant in WTO. We'll be discussing that in a lot more detail in the next chapter. Main aim of WTO is it's the watchdog for all the goods and services, imports and exports across the world. It helps to conduct standardized business. Agreements are negotiated, trade initiatives are taken, dispute resolution happens via the WTO. It's a forum for governments to negotiate and discuss, and trade rules are involved. So we'll be talking in a lot more detail of what WTO themes are and how WTO operates, and specifically also to India and India's role, India's benefit and role as being a member of the WTO in 90s. It was formed by the WTO, though formed in 95, was formed after 8 years of discussion in the Uruguay round of negotiations, which lasted from 1986 to 94. So there was so much thought which went into the creation of the WTO, and we'll be discussing it in further detail in the coming chapter. Certain other, over and above the World Bank, over and above ADB, IMF, UNCTAD, there are emerging financial organizations across different regions, like the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, already 103 members, even though it is a more recent organization. It was proposed by China in 2013, and of course, primarily it is operating in the APAC region. Then you have your New Development Bank, which was also known as the BRICS Development Bank, the BRICS nations being Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And again, it is these member countries have their votes and participate to encourage trade and growth in this region. If you look at the spectrum of the projects which and the themes across which the NDB is operating, then once again you are seeing sanitation, water, environment, infrastructure, clean energy, transport. You are also seeing digital infrastructure because, of course, going forward, digital infrastructure is going to form a very large part of growth and trade across the world. Thank you.